Reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, the conclusion of the story of Krishna's Kaviraj going to Vrindavan, following the order that he received from Lord Nityananda in a dream. And when he came to Vrindavan, by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, Nityananda Kripa, he attained many wonderful gifts or presents. The mercy took shape. And we were enumerating those different mercies that he received, or gifts. First one was that he happily went to Vrindavan. The second one was he got the association of Rupa, and he learned the about Bhakti Ras. He got the association of Sanatana Goswami. He learned about Bhakti Siddhanta, the actual truths and the sambandha, the basic points of Krishna consciousness. And then he attained the shelter and mercy of Raghunath Das Goswami, and he taught him about Sarup Damodar's teachings. And then he says he got the darshan of Radha Govinda. And then what else? I think we finished seven different gifts. He attained Radha Govinda, that was the sixth one. Oh, then he explained that by the mercy of Madan Gopal, or Madan Mohan, because the deity of Madan Mohan was previously called Madan Gopal, he got access to the rasa dance in his meditation, Krishna's Kaviraj, in his bhajan meditation. He was able to see the rasa dance and sporti. Sporti means internal vision. In your mind, you're seeing. When we close our eyes and we meditate, in fact, I remember once I was describing this about meditation. Someone said, when I close my eyes and meditate, I just see black. Like maybe we're seeing our eyelids or something. Like we're seeing the curtains from behind the stage. We're not seeing the players. We're not seeing the drama. Just black stage curtain. Black stage curtain of our eyelids. But sporti is the devotee closes his eyes and he meditates, and it's just like if you have a television and it looks black. So all these different gifts he received. So sporti, we're speaking about sporti. When we see a television in our living room, we look at it, it's a box with a black screen or dark green or whatever. Then you press a button and all of a sudden so many things happen. Music, sound, action, drama. So for the advanced devotees, when they close their eyes and meditate, it's just like they press a button and they see television. It's actually a color and everything they see. This is called sporti. Sometimes the sporti is very short, sometimes it's very long. There's sporti and then visporti. Then sakshat darshan. Sakshat darshan is when the internal absorption in lila is so great, and Krishna, from his side, he wants to reciprocate with the devotee in a very grand way. Then he gives the devotee the eyes to see him externally. Then Krishna appears, and the devotee seeing the Lord in his heart, in his meditation, or in sporti. And then he opens his eyes and he sees the very same Lord before him with his eyes open. And that's called sakshat darshan, direct darshan, seeing. And that is only possible by the mercy of the Lord, if he's very pleased with the devotee, and also for his own purposes, to encourage that devotee or to strengthen that devotee's faith more and more, or to bring that devotee's bhava to the boiling point. You may have some water in the pot and it's warm, but if you put it on the fire, then it starts boiling. So bhava is like the water in the kettle of the heart, or in the pot of the heart. So that someone may be on Bhava Bhakti and they're doing meditation, Leela Smaran or Leela Pravesh. They're entering Leela for brief periods in Spurti and eyes are closed, seeing. Then Krishna, from his side, he wants to bring that devotee more quickly from Bhava to Prem, very fastly, and bring out it and encourage his, you can say, extract his the intensity of his feelings to prepare him to come back to Godhead. So then he gives Sakshat Darshan for someone who's absorbed in, at that level of Leela Smaranam. So this Krishna's Kaviraj, he had this spurti of the Rasa dance, and he's describing, this is also the blessings of Nityananda Prabhu. So that's where we left off yesterday. And he was saying, what am I seeing? What am I seeing in my spurti? I'll tell you. I'm seeing Krishna. And on one side he's being served by Radha. On the other side he's being served by Lalita. Right? We read that. And his sweetness, swamadurye, his own sweetness is attracting everyone. And we mentioned the four sweetnesses of Krishna, Leela Madhurya, Prema Madhurya. And then he describes this. This is text 27. This is text 216. This is gift number 8. Nityananda dayamore tanre de kaila Sri Radha Madan Mohan Prabhu Karidila. The mercy of Lord Nityananda showed me Sri Madan Mohan and gave me Madan Mohan as my Lord and Master. Because in the dream, this story all started in Jamatpur, which is West Bengal, where Krishna's Kaviraj's native place, his family home, was situated. Nityananda appeared to him in a dream and he said, this place, your home is not good. Your brother is an offender. He accepts Chaitanya, but not Nityananda. And your head pujari, Gunarnava Mishra, he's also an offender. Because he offended Viniketan Ramdas, Nityananda's Premi Bhakta. So it's not very good to live in a house full of aparadis. Like we may come from Russia and our house is full of aparadis. Maybe our mother or father, they don't so much appreciate this little blue boy. And so we rather come to Vrindavan and get away from them. It can be like that. So then Nityananda appeared in a dream and he said, you should leave this place and go to Vrindavan. Sarva Labhyahai. If you go to Vrindavan, you will attain everything. You just go to Vrindavan. Don't ask any questions. Don't ask how will I get there, why, how long should I stay. Just go to Vrindavan and you will attain everything. So he did. And he lived here on Shamakund, right next to Raghunath Das Goswami. And they did bhajan together, they shared their realizations. And every day Krishna's Kaviraj listened to Raghunath Das Goswami as a Shiksha Guru. And he took notes and then he compiled Chaitanya Charitamrita. This book we're studying was written right here at Shamakund. I think it was published in 1582, I believe. 1582 is 400 some years ago. 15 years ago, something like that. So he was right, he wrote down that now that I've come to Vrindavan, I received so many wonderful things. And he describes what he received by coming to Vrindavan, because Nityananda said, you will get everything, sarva lobhyahai, you will attain everything. So what is that everything? Well, for some people, everything is money. If they attain money, that means everything. Sometimes you meet people, they say, all I want is money. If someone would just give me $1 billion, then I would be happy. I would be satisfied. I wouldn't ask for anything more. They say, like, I only want just one thing. So Krishna's Kaviraj got many things by coming to Vrindavan. So this is the eighth thing. And he always says, Nityananda Kripa or Nityananda Dhaya, by the mercy of Nityananda. So then he says, Mo Adamai Dile Sri Govinda Darshan Kahibara Katanahi Katya Katan. He says he granted to one as low as me the sight of Lord Govinda. Words cannot describe this, nor is it fit to be disclosed. So these are entries from his diary, Krishna's Kaviraj's diary. And so some things in bhajan, sometimes we can share things because this is an open diary. This is a public diary. We're reading his diary. So usually diary is like a chronicle or a description of your daily activities, your thoughts, your meditations, your aspirations, your experiences, and people, and whatever, your feelings. So this is some very confidential experiences he has had by the mercy of Nityananda. He says, not fit to be disclosed. Akatya katan. That this kata, these words I cannot speak. But then he does speak. In this verse he says, I can't speak. Then in the next verse he can't keep himself from speaking. So this is the eighth gift we mentioned was that he received Radha Madan Mohan Prabhu Kari Dila. He gave Radha Madan Mohan became my master. Right? He says they gave. So if you have a master, that means you have service. Right? That means you have a master. A master has servants. So he said, he gave me my master. Prabhu means master. Prabhu. So we hear that when the devotees, they asked Krishna's Kaviraj that you're such a great writer. You have written Govinda Lilamrita, which is satisfying and nourishing the hearts of all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So, and you know everything. You know you know music, you know Sanskrit, you know Alankar, you know everything about Krishna, how to describe him so nicely. So why don't you write about Lord Chaitanya? You wrote the Amrit of Govinda, right? Govinda Lilamrita. So why don't you write the Amrit? Amrit means nectar. Why don't you give us the nectar? I say, give us the nectar. So he gave us the nectar about Govinda. So then all the devotees, they approached him. They said, listen, can you please give us the nectar about Lord Chaitanya? And he said, I'm old. I can hardly walk. I'm walking with a stick. Now my back is bent over and my knees don't work. And my eyes are not very, my eyesight is failing me and my hands are not steady. And then they said, well, why don't you go to your Lord? Why don't you go to Madan Mohan? Because Sanatan Goswami, he's written so many books by the inspiration of Madan Mohan. So why did you go? So then this is described in also the same book, how he came to write this book. So that's why he's saying that Nityananda gave me the service of Madan Mohan as my master. And now that he's serving Madan Mohan and establishing his relationship, because when you establish your relationship with Krishna, that aspect of Sambandha Gyan is performed by Krishna and his feature is Madan Mohan. It's only one Krishna, only one Radha. And they have different features. When they're acting to attract us, then he acts as Madan Mohan. Because now we're attracted by Madan. Madan means Cupid, the god of lust, or the god of material enjoyment, sense enjoyment. He's always enticing us, and attracting us, and inspiring us to enjoy without Krishna. To enjoy the body, our body or someone else's body. So now he says that he attained the darshan. It says, Sri Govinda darshan. So he's serving Madan Mohan, he's establishing himself in his relationship with Krishna by becoming attracted. Madan Mohan is attracting his senses, attracting his mind, and that's how Krishna first appears to all of us. And then he engages our senses in service. Go means senses, and Vinda means Lord of. And that's Govinda. And if we really get engaged in service, Govinda will give us his darshan. Sri Govinda darshan. So now, although he says, I can't disclose it, I really can't tell you what it was or how I felt. But anyway, I'll tell you. So then he says, Vrindavane yoge pitte kapataruvan ratna mandaptahe ratna simhasan Sri Govinda vasiyachen Vrajendra nandan Madhurya prakashikarin jagat mohan. There's a lot of very beautiful words in Sanskrit, or actually Bengali. So this is what he saw. He's actually describing the darshan that he attained. He attained darshan of Govindaji at Yogapit. There's one Yogapit. Yogapit is where Krishna and Radha meet with their eternal associates. And the eternal associates, they worship their Lord there, Lord and Lady. And then from that point, then pastimes begin. It's almost like in a book you have a Mangalacharan, or when you see Rasalila, if you ever watch Rasalila performances, they have different leelas, but before every leela they have what you might call the introduction or to the drama, where all the Radharani is sitting on a throne. It's called Radharani Artik. You must have seen. Actually, I think it's Radha and Krishna. Radha and Krishna are sitting on a throne. It's been a few years, 4 years since I've seen, because I've been here in the construction. But they open the curtains at some point, and Radha and Krishna are sitting on the throne, and all the Sakis are there, and they're singing a song, and they're offering arati. It's called Yugal Arati. And they offer arati, and they glorify them. And then there's some gopis dance for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. Then sometimes Radha and Krishna come off the throne, dance. And the curtain close, then they begin the drama. So this is very interesting, because what we're seeing is exactly what's going on in the spiritual world. This preamble, or this introductory scene of the Rasalila performance, is called Yogapit Puja. Because there are three places, because there's the morning pastimes, the afternoon pastimes, and the evening. Because the day is divided like that. Haribo. So, in the morning, Krishna is in. Maybe you want to close that window now? Air is hot there coming? Hot air is coming there, or what? No, okay, leave it open. In the morning, Krishna returns to Nandagram at about 5:59 because Pratak Leela starts at 6 o'clock. So he gets there just in time. And then he takes his breakfast and he wrestles with the boys, he milks the cows and takes his breakfast and his bath, and he's dressed and all these things. Then after breakfast he rests, and then he goes out secretly and meets Radharani at the Yogapit. And the morning Yogapit is at Gupta Kund. Gupta means secret, and Kund means lake. A secret lake, a confidential lake, a hidden place. And that's where the day's leelas begin there. Just like sometimes in these news shows or some serial show, they have some kind of lingo, some music lingo. Then you know it's they have their own specific little song, and you know, oh, this is this show, the theme song for some show or some news show or something, as I recall, long ago, TV days. So this is the Yogapit meditation, or Yogapit, of course, for us is a meditation, but for them it's real. They do puja like this. So that's in the morning. In the afternoon is at Lalita's Lalita Kunj on the banks of Radhakund. And the evening the place is called Govindastali, the evening Yogapit. And that's where all the gopis meet there. And Krishnas Kaviraj, he described this also in another verse, which is the Abhideya Pranam Mantra. Divyat Vrindaranya Kalpajumada Srimad Ratnagara Simhasanasto Srimad Srila Radha Govinda Devo Preshta Alibi Sevyamano Smarami. I think everyone has heard of this. He wrote a Pranam Mantra for Madan Mohan, Govindaji, and Gopinath. Sambandha Abhideya Priyojan. Jayatam Surato Pangur Mama Mandamatergati Matsarvasva Padam Bojo Radha Madana Mohano. Then Sriman Rasa Rasarambi Vamshi Vatatatasti Taha Karshan Venur Swanir Gopir Gopinata Striestunam. So in this prayer to Govindaji, it describes, as he's describing here in Bengali, the same verse he's describing again in this Bengali translation. On an altar made of gems in the principal temple of Vrindavan, in the middle of a forest of desire trees, Lord Govinda, the son of the king of Braj, or Nanda Nandan, sits upon a throne of gems and manifests his full glory and sweetness, thus enchanting the entire world. So, two verses ago, Krishna's Kaviraj says, by the Nityananda Daya, by the mercy of Nityananda, I attained something very special, Sri Govinda Darshan. But it's confidential, I really can't tell you about it. And then he thought, before he wrote the next verse, oh, all right, I'll tell you something about it. I'll tell you something about it. This is the darshan that I received. I received darshan of the Yogapit. And Krishna was looking like this. And then he says, Vama Parshve Sri Radhika Sakhi Ghana Sange Rasadika Lila Prabhu Kare Katarange. On Shyam's left side was Srimati Radharani and all her personal friends, Sakigan Sange, her Sakigan, her group of Sakis. With them, Govinda enjoys the Rasa Leela and many other pastimes. So then he goes on to explain. Janra Dhyana Nijaloke Kari Padma Asan Ashtadash Akshara Mantre Kari Upasana. He says that this same scene is being meditated on by Lord Brahma, who's sitting in Padma Asana, and he's chanting the mantra of 18 syllables. Does anyone know what that mantra is? That he's chanting? 18 syllable mantra. Yes. He's chanting the Gopal mantra. Kling Krishnaya Govindaya Gopi, like this, right? Prabhupada writes the mantra here in the book. So he's sitting in Padma Asana and he's chanting this Gopal mantra and he's meditating on Gopal. Actually, this is called mantra dhyan, the meditation. When there's mantra, there must be a dhyan or a meditation to go with it. So when we're chanting this mantra, this is the preferred meditation, to meditate on Govindastali, on the Yogapit, this very scene that Radha and Krishna are sitting on a jeweled asana. They're surrounded by the Asasakis, Savyamanam, Preshta Alibi. Ali means bumblebee, but also means the gopis, Alibi. Preshta Alibi means the very dear and confidential Sakis, Savyamanam. They're rendering different services. Some are, like you see pictures like this. This is a picture of something like Yogapit, but Radha and Krishna are standing. But all the gopis are in their hands, they have some type of service articles. One has a musical instrument in her hands and she's serving by playing the whatever, sitar. Another one's offering garlands, another one's offering tambul, another one's offering something to drink. So they're all rendering different services. So this goes on at the Yogapit. They do puja. Lalita Sakhi offers the artik. They make an artik schedule, like in the temples. Monday Mangalartik, Savya Sachin. Tuesday, Prakash. You know, in the temples, the Pajari room, they make a list. Who does Mangalartik each day? So, Lita Sakhi, she's offering the ghee lamp. So Brahma, he's also meditating on this. Chodha Bhuvane Janra Sabe Kare Dhyan Vaikunthari Pure Janra Lila Gunagan. Everyone in the 14 worlds meditates upon Govinda. And all the Vaikunthavasis, they sing of his qualities and pastimes. So he's explaining that Govinda is so attractive. Govinda with Radharani and all the gopis, situated at the Yogapit at Govindastali, is so attractive that not only Brahma, who is the first creature or created being of the universe, he's meditating on this very scene, which Kaviraj saw. By the mercy of Nityananda, Kaviraj saw the Yogapit. He saw Govindastali. And then he's trying to explain to everyone, what I saw is something very special. Some people are meditating on what I saw, and some people are glorifying and chanting about what I saw, but I saw it. Like some people say, I heard about the Himalayas. I read a book about it. And someone else says, I went there. Really? And so it's much more significant. Or someone says, you heard about Mount Everest? Yes, I read about it. I saw it on television. I climbed to the top. Acha? So many people have heard about it. Many people have seen it on television, or pictures or photographs. But who has climbed to the top? So Krishna's Kaviraj, he, by the mercy of Nityananda, the impossible becomes possible. Gatana agatana patiyasi shakti. Let's explain Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Gatana agatana patiyasi shakti means the power, the shakti, the potency or the power to make the possible impossible and the impossible possible. You're thinking, I would like to spend Kartik in Vrindavan, but I have no money. And there's only 2 weeks left till Kartik. And how will I get any money? I don't know anybody that has any money. And I don't even have any friends to cry on their shoulders to tell them about it. It's only my heart's wish, and Krishna knows my heart. But still, that's nice, but I can't buy a plane ticket with my heart. I need money. So now that 1 week goes by. Now there's 1 week left. And you're thinking, well, I guess I won't be in Kartik and Vrindavan this year. Then someone comes and says, oh really, can you do me a favor? Someone has to go and get a deity outfit for Govardhan Puja. We're going to do a very big some puja, or whatever, you can say Gorpurnim. And we've ordered an outfit, but we need someone to go there and pay them and bring that outfit back. We'll pay your way if you go to Vrindavan. It happens like this. Then the devotee thinks, somebody's up there. Somebody up there heard my prayers. And then they get, all of a sudden, there's 1 week left and they have $1,000 in their hand. They have a round trip ticket and they're on their way to Vrindavan. So this is the mercy of Nityananda, that the impossible becomes possible. So Krishna's Kaviraj, he's seeing that very Yogapit, which Lord Brahma is not seeing. He's only chanting Gopal mantra and meditating. And once he saw, and he described, and he didn't even see actually the Yogapit. He saw what Brihad Bhagavatamrita explains as he saw the Aishvarya Vrindavan. Because Vrindavan has two aspects. One is Brajagokul and the other is called Goloka Vrindavan. And Goloka Vrindavan is the same petal, you could say, the same planet or the same, just like, for example, someone has a piece of land and they have two houses on a piece of land. One house is made of cow dung and straw roof, cow dung floor and mud walls. And in that house they churn butter, they have clay pots and very simple, and people wear simple cloth, nothing fancy. Now, you go down 100 meters, there's another house. This palace is solid gold and everyone's wearing silk and turbans and gems and there's gold beds and everything. So it's in the same piece of property, same boundary wall is there, but there's two houses, one very simple and pastoral and very like poor type, and the other very opulent and ornate and costly and rich. So this is exactly what's going on in the spiritual world, which Brihad Bhagavatamrita explains, and Lagva Bhagavatamrita, and also Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So when Lord Brahma, when he had his darshan, he says, Govindamadi Purusham, Tamaham Bhajami, he saw that opulent aspect of Vrindavan. Because his understanding of God was mixed with grandeur or majesty. So it's called Aishvarya Mahigyan. Aishvarya Mahigyan means his knowledge or understanding or perception of Krishna, of Vrindavan, was mixed with opulence. Sad Aishvarya Purna. Aishvarya Samagrasya Virayasya Yashashatriya. that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he has six opulences. We often hear this. He's all wealth, all beauty, all knowledge, all strength, fame, and renunciation. Sad Aishwarya, Sad means six. Aishwarya Purna. He's complete or full of Aishwarya. So in that same planet of Vrindavan, there are two Radhas, two Krishnas, two Nandas, two Yashodas. And the Madhurya Mayi Krishna that we worship is the one that lives in a mud house with a thatched roof and a cow dung floor, and they wear simple clothes and they wear peacock feathers and everything's simple, and he goes bare feet and like this. And then the other Krishna and Radha, they are in the Goloka Vrindavan, part of Vrindavan, because sometimes the entire Vaikuntha is called Goloka, but it can be called Goloka, but it can't be called Goloka Vrindavan. So Goloka Vrindavan is the Aishwarya part of Vrindavan. And there is where you read about, when you read different books, sometimes there's descriptions of that. Gold walls and diamond bolted doors, and everyone's wearing, you hear this, like Brajriti Chintamani and other books, sometimes they describe that Vrindavan. Because generally people have this idea that God is, that must be something really special. He must have a much bigger house than I do. He must have a much better house, and I have a gold necklace. He can't be just wearing some flowers. He must have a better necklace than mine. I have a gold necklace. He must have a diamond necklace. So we have this idea of projection that God must be like this. So this place exists, and Radha and Krishna are there. It's also called Mahavaikuntha. It's also called Krishna Vaikuntha. So Krishna is not in Vaikuntha. All the Vaikuntha planets are simply forms of Narayan, Chaturbhuj Narayan, Padmanabha, Rishikesh, all these tilak marks that we put on our body are the names of different forms of Vishnu. Govinda, it's not the Govinda of Vrindavan, this is the forearm form of Govinda. There's 24 Vishnu avatars. Padmanabha, Govinda, Rishikesh, Damodar. It's not the Damodar of the Radha Damodar, it's Vishnu Damodar. So they have their planets, and this is Aishwarya, this is called Vaikuntha. So Sanatana Goswami calls this Krishna Vaikuntha. So where is Krishna Vaikuntha? Krishna Vaikuntha is part of Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, where Krishna is worshipped with Radharani and Aishwarya. Aishwarya mixed with some Madhurya. So who goes there? Well, that's described also in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Someone who worships Radha and Krishna as their Ishtadev, but they follow the path of Vaidhi Sadhana without following Rag. And they have this conception that Krishna is, he has to have all this opulence, and where's Nanda Maharaj has a big palace on the top of the hill and has 56 rooms and all these things. This is the Aishwarya conception. And Vishwanath and Rupa Goswami explain that those devotees that have to have that, they have to have Radha and Krishna with opulence and grandeur and royalty, they go there. But actually the Radha and Krishna of Lord Chaitanya is this totally Madhurya Krishna that wears peacock feathers and just the Gunjamala, some poisonous berries he wears as a necklace. Gunja, I mean, you could even take some nice berries, edible berries, cherries or wild, whatever, different kinds of berries are there, little fruits. But he takes these little tiny berries, Gunja, and they're totally poisonous. If you eat them, you die. And he wears those as necklaces, and he puts them on his turban. They come in white color, they come in red color with a drop of black, a spot of black. So when Brahma was saying, Chintamani Prakara Sadma Shukopa Riksha, the ground is covered with Chintamani jewels. Acha? Wait a minute. I read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, and Krishna's on Gokul, he grabbed the tail of a calf, and the calf started running and dragging Krishna through the mud. Now, how is the grounds covered with jewels and then the grounds covered with mud? I mean, something funny here. So the funny thing is that Brahma, then he says, Lakshmi Sahasra Sata Sambrahma Sevyamano. He didn't say Gopi Sahasra, he said Lakshmi. So because he was seeing the Aishwarya aspect of Goloka and he's worshipping that. Suravi Avipalyant, all this. So he was seeing, so what Brahma was seeing when he's describing in Brahma Samhita is not what Krishna's Kaviraj was seeing at the Yogapit. So that's why I'm trying to bring this out, because he's saying here, yes, Brahma, he's sitting and chanting Gopal Mantra, and he's also meditating on this Yogapit. He's meditating on it, but I saw it. And someone might say, but Brahma Samhita, Brahma, Brahma's writing what he saw. Yes, he saw, but he didn't see the Yogapit, which is in Madhurya Vrindavan. He saw Krishna, because he also said, Ananda Chinmay Rasa Pratibhavitavis Tabirya Eva Nijarupataya Kalabi. So he was saying, he was understanding. There's some verses in Brahma Samhita which indicate, as we understand, but we haven't seen, we understand that from Krishna's body comes Radha. And from Radha's body comes so many gopis. We understand that, but we've never seen it. So we could also write about it. So Brahma, he's writing sometimes, some verses of Brahma Samhita are writing about the Madhurya aspect of Braja Gokul. But the majority of the verses are what he actually perceived, not what he understood, but what he saw was the Aishwarya aspect. He saw Goloka Vrindavan. And this is described in Brahma Samhita. So this is... So then he says that not only is Brahma meditating on him, but everyone in the 14 worlds, and even the Vaikunthavasis. Then he goes so far, he says, Jandra Madhuri Te Kare Lakshmi Akarshan Rupa Gosai Kare Yachena Se Rupa Varnan. He says even Lakshmi Devi is attracted by Krishna's sweetness in Vrindavan, which Srila Rupa Goswami has described in this way. And this is that famous verse from Brahma Samhita, from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, describing Krishna's beauty on the banks of the Yamuna. So, this is a very famous verse. I don't know exactly how this verse is sung. What is the raga of this verse? A very long verse. Sme ram bangi traya parichitam sachi vistina nedristim vamshi nyastadara kishalayam ujvalam chandrakena Govinda, Govindakyam Haritunam, Itak, Keshi, Tirto, Pakante, Maprekshitas Tava Yadi, Sake Bandhu Sange, Stirangaha. The translation. My dear friend, if you are indeed attached to your worldly friends, then do not look at the smiling face of Lord Govinda as he stands on the bank of the Yamuna at Keshigat. Casting sidelong glances, he places his flute to his lips, which seem like newly blossomed twigs. Govinda's transcendental body, bending in three places, appears very bright in the moonlight. The Prabhupada, he writes his purport here. This is... from the first division of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, chapter 2, Prabhupada says, generally people in conditioned life, they engage in the pleasure of society, friendship, and love. This so-called love is lust, not love. But people are satisfied with such a false understanding of love. Vidyapati, a great and learned poet from Mithila, has said that the pleasure derived from friendship, society, and family life in the material world is like a drop of water, but our hearts desire pleasure like an ocean. Thus the heart is compared to a desert of material existence that requires the water of an ocean of pleasure to satisfy its dryness. So our hearts are as dry as deserts. So if you want anything to grow in a desert, you need a lot of rain. So if we want to experience actual happiness, true happiness, then we have to experience the rains of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. If there is a drop of water in a desert, one may indeed say that it is water. But such a minute quantity of water has no value. See the analogy. Oh, okay, my heart is like a desert, but I get some happiness. I have a wife, I have a husband, I have a boyfriend, okay. That's like being in a desert, and, oh, here's a drop of water. Doop. Thanks, but I'm still a little thirsty. So we have husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, and we get a few drops of happiness, but still we're dry. Tank is empty. Heart is thirsty. It's called, in Sanskrit, it's called Trishna. Trishna. the only thing that can satisfy our Trishna is Krishna. But people have Trishna for Maya, so Trishna, our thirst for, is satisfied. Krishna and Bhakti Ras can satisfy our thirst. Similarly, in the material world, no one is satisfied with the dealings of society, friendship, and love. Therefore, if one wants to derive real pleasure within his heart, he must seek the lotus feet of Govinda. Actually, in the previous verse, there, because Krishna's Kaviraj is explaining how Lakshmi Devi, she's also Akarshan. She's attracted to Krishna. Then Prabhupada mentions in the purport that after, in the Padma Purana describes that after Lakshmi Devi saw the attractive features of Krishna and Vrindavan, she became very attracted and she wanted to get his favor, so she engaged herself in meditation. One day Krishna met her in Bailvan, or Bilvavan, which is in Vrindavan, and he asked Lakshmi Devi, why are you performing all these strict austerities? She said, I want to be one of your associates like the gopis in Vrindavan. Hearing this, Krishna replied, that is quite impossible. Because she's trying to do it on her own. But you can say, well, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem, Sadyakavanai. Krishna Prem is in her heart and she's meditating, so it should rise out of her heart, right? I mean, she's doing smaranam. I mean, smaranam means meditation. Shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, right? So she's meditating and she's in the holy dham. So it's very favorable for bhakti to live in the holy dham. And Lakshmi, you can imagine, she's pretty sincere in her devotional practices. So Krishna said, that's quite impossible. What does that mean? It means you cannot do it on your own. It's not within you to attain me. Only if you become gopi anugata. You want to associate with me in Vrindavan intimately, like gopis, that's what she said. I want to be one of your associates like the gopis in Vrindavan. So I'm sitting here in Bailvan on the other side of the Yamuna and I'm meditating. And then Krishna said, that is impossible. Unless you follow Rupa Manjari and Lita Sakhi, right? Hearing this, he said, Lakshmi Devi then said that, all right, well, maybe I can just remain like a golden line on your chest, because she's golden in color, because she wants to embrace him. Gopis embrace Krishna and serve Krishna intimately, and that was her wish, being so attracted by him, she was drawn to him. That's why the word akarshan means drawn to, compelled to, pulled. Means karshan, means like gravity. Like karshan, Krishna's karshan. Lakshmi akarshan. She was completely drawn to Krishna, attracted to him. And it wasn't that she wanted to play checkers with him, or play bridge with him, or, you know, play cards. She wanted to enjoy intimately. So she wanted to look like a golden lightning streak embedded in the blue cloud of Krishna's chest. So she said, all right, if you can't accept me as one of your gopi associates, can I just be a golden line on your chest? That's also a type of embracing. Like you can say, a man can say, well, the hairs on my chest are embracing me. Maybe they're just part of the chest, but you can't say, so Lakshmi Devi said, well, let me just be a golden hair on your chest. So Krishna said, all right, I can accommodate that. That you can get. So that's not much service as a gopi can do. So that was, and actually there's two or three renditions of this story in different Puranas. One time Purnamasi also came, or Yogamaya came, and she met Lakshmi Devi. And she said, what are you doing here? And I'm doing austerities, I want to become a gopi. And she said, acha, take. But to become a gopi, first you have to die, and then you have to take birth from a womb of a gopi. Are you willing? Are you ready and prepared to take birth from a womb of a gopi? And Lakshmi Devi said, what? I'm a Brahmani. I'm a Brahmin. A gopi is a Vaishya, and then even hardly they're Vaishyas, they're just Abira. It's called Abira. Abira Nagari, they say Abira Nagari. Abiras are almost, they're like animal people. You know, Vaishyas are more like, they're more Vaishyas, you can say in general category they're like Vaishyas, but in Abira they're always out living with animals. So they're like animals. You know, but the, you know, bankers and agriculturists and people who own vast acres of land and do business and commerce, they're called Vaishya. But Abhira, they're dealing with animals and not farming, but they deal with animals. And so they say that you take on the qualities of whomever you associate with. So if you associate with buffalo all day, then you become like a little buffalo type. Like even when we say it, sometimes they make a joke in Braj Mandal that these Brajbasis, they drink too much buffalo milk, and the guys that drive the tractor, and they're driving the tractor down the highway the wrong way and run right into a tractor trailer truck. So by associating with the buffaloes, they became like buffalo. So then Yogamaya asked Lakshmi Devi, are you prepared to take birth from a woman of a gopi? And Lakshmi Devi said, no way. I'm a Brahmani. How can I take birth as an Abhira or a Vaishya? Then she said, okay. Well, how about this? Are you prepared to pick the cow dung off the ground and make these cow dung patties like the gopis do? Oh, get my hands dirty with cow dung? Are you, come on. I'm not ready to do that. And so there's about 7 or 8 questions that Yogamaya was asking Lakshmi Devi when she met her in Belvan, and she failed the test. And on all questions, she indicated that she was very attached to her Lakshmi-ness, her position, her, you can say, hankar, her identity as a Brahmani, as a what. And then she asked another question. She said, listen, if perchance you take birth in Vrindavan, say you take birth in Vrindavan as a gopi, because you want to be a gopi associate of Krishna, that is your sankalp, your aspiration, and you grow up and you become married, and then you're living in your house with your husband, and when Krishna plays his flute on the full moon night of the Sharad season, which is tomorrow, tomorrow night is full moon, but some calendars are saying it's on Saturday, but Friday night is actually full moon tomorrow night, and Krishna plays the flute, are you willing to run out of your house and dance with him in the middle of the forest and leave your husband behind? She says, what? Leave my husband? Aryapat hitwa, to renounce the path of Aryan behavior? I can't do that. How could I leave my husband? What do you ask? Yogamaya, what do you ask me to do? This is irreligious. I mean, now, when we hear this discussion now, which is from Skanda Purana, we think, oh, what's the big deal? Leave your husband. You know, I left 3 or 4 already, you know. I mean, you know, as husbands and wives, you can either one say this. So our view, our worldview, or our paradigm is quite different than 5,000 years ago, the Vedic worldview. So when you, even like Rukmini wrote a letter, oh Krishna, please capture me and kidnap me before I get this, fed to the lions or whatever. So Krishna kidnapped her and took her to Dwarka, but she said, I will not live with you unless you marry me in proper marriage. Because she was attached. She's attached to Varnashram Dharma. She's a queen. She comes from a royal family. She's a daughter of King Bhishmaka. So although she couldn't bear the idea of being married to any mortal man or anyone of this world, but still, she's not like the gopis. She was attached to Varnashram Dharma. That a young lady cannot live in the house of another man unless she's married to him. So once they got to Dwarka, then Rukmini said, okay, this is fine, but now you have to marry me right away. Because you can't touch me, you know, I'm not going to do anything with you until you marry me. So it was a huge marriage, Rukmini Vivaha. It's a huge, huge discussion whenever they have this Bhagavat Pat, this Bhagavat Sapta. They spend a whole day practically discussing the marriage. The kidnapping is called Rukmini Hara. I think it's called Rukmini Hara and Vivaha. The taking away or the kidnapping of Rukmini and the marriage. So it's a very glorious and wonderful thing. But the whole pastime indicates, that's why you see compare the Uttam Bhakti of Rukmini compared to the gopis. It doesn't hold a fig. Because the gopis, they're married and everything, as soon as they hear the flute, bye. they're out of there. They don't think twice of, oh, my Arya Dharma, my Patni Dharma, oh, my Laja, my shyness, my Loka Dharma, what will the people think? There's nothing, no consideration, no attachment to anything. They followed those dharmas. They came back home from the forest and they upheld their dharmas, but they were not attached. Rukmini is very attached. She wouldn't do anything. Has to be proper decorum. There must be proper marriage, proper everything. So one level, it looks a little improper that some unmarried girl is writing a love letter to another man. But then when, so that seems quite unstandard. But then once she was kidnapped, then she was very much asserting and showing her attachment to the Vedic way. So these are the classic figures and personalities of the Bhagavatam, which we study to understand the supreme position of the gopis' love. So this is the story of Lakshmi Devi. And then, so, go on. Maybe we can finish, try to finish this story today. Sakshat Rajendra Sutta Itte Nahi An Jebe Agya Kare Tanre Pratima Hina Gyan. Without a doubt, Govinda is directly the son of the king of Braj. Only a fool considers him a statue. So here, in this verse, I mean this, he's describing, basically Krishna's Kaviraj is describing the, this was the, I think the ninth gift that he attained from Lord Nityananda's mercy was he attained darshan of Radha and Govinda at the Yogapit. He saw the rasa dance, he saw the Yogapit puja, and then he's describing what he saw Brahma meditates on. And what Brahma meditates on, the rest of the world is also meditating on. And in Vaikuntha, they're singing about Krishna, Govinda's pastimes and qualities. And then he describes the verse which we mentioned about Krishna, Govinda at the banks of Yamuna, Keshigad. And that verse, it's interesting because that verse, which was penned by Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, was describing the Govinda that he worshipped, was describing the Archamurti Govinda. Because in this verse he's saying that without a doubt, he says, Sakshat Prajendra Sutta. You should understand, he says Pratima. He said this, Pratima means Murti. So he's quoting this verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which I mentioned the other day about Bhakti Ratnakar says, if anyone sees the face of Govindaji or the deity of Govindaji, he gets, you know, prema and all these things. And he's seeing directly Krishna. So there's so many statements about this Govindaji deity, how special he is. So here, Krishna's Kaviraj is also saying, without a doubt, he is directly, he is Nandanandan. Only a fool considers the deity of Govindaji to be a statue. Then he says, Sehi aparade tara nahikanistar gora nara kete pare ki baliba ar. For that offense of thinking that the deity of Govinda is a pratima or a murti, one can never be liberated. Rather, he would fall into a terrible hellish condition. What more can I say? Hena ye Govinda Prabhu painu yahana hoite tanharav charana kripa ke pare varnite. Therefore, who can describe the mercy of the lotus feet of Nityananda, by whom I have attained the shelter of this Lord Govinda? Vrindavane vaisejata vaishnava mandala krishnanama parayana parayana parama mangal. All the devotees and Vaishnavas who live in Vrindavan are absorbed in chanting the all-auspicious name of Krishna. Janra pranadana Nityananda Sri Chaitanya Radha Krishna Bhakti Vine Nahi Jane Anya. Chaitanya and Nityananda are my life and soul, are the life and soul of those Vaishnavas who do not know anything else but the devotional service of Radha and Krishna. Se Vaishnavera Padarenu Tara Pada Chai Adamere Dhile Prabhu Nityananda Dai. So everywhere he's saying all these verses where he's describing what he received by coming to Vrindavan, because we mentioned that in a dream Lord Nityananda told Krishna's Kaviraj, you will get everything by coming to Vrindavan. So now he's listing one by one in this chapter, Adi Leela, chapter 5, listing one by one all the everythings that he got, or all the things that he got, all the great gifts. So this is number 10, our list of 10 gifts. Here he got the dust to the feet of the Vaishnavas. And that's the final one. And first he glorifies those persons. That Vrindavan is full of Vaishnavas. And what do? Do they eat and sleep all day? No, they're absorbed in chanting the names. Paramamangal, Krishnanam Parayan. And who is their Ishtadeva? All these devotees are chanting Nam Sankirtan, and they're absorbed in worshipping Chaitanya Nitai. And they don't know anything but the devotional service of Radha and Krishna. And that was what it was like, of course, 500 years ago. There was no newspaper, no television, no radio, no cell phones. There was nothing else to distract the mind or attract the mind, but the service of Radha and Krishna. You can imagine, all there was trees. You could go out and count the trees, I suppose, when you want some break from your chanting. Go out and look at the birds or something. But they were absorbed. So these type of personalities, these Vaishnavas, then he says that the Padarenu and Padachaya, that the dust and shade of the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas have been granted to this fallen soul by the mercy of Nityananda. Padachaya and Padarenu. Later in the same book, in Antilila, Krishna's Kaviraj describes that one of three things he says Bhakta Pada Dule, Bhakta Pada Jal, Bhakta Uchishta Teen Mahabal. He says the dust from the feet, the Duli or Raj, the dust from the feet of the Vaishnavas, the water which washes their feet, and the food that comes from their mouth, the food that comes out of their mouth after they eat, Uchishta, their food remnants, say Mahabal, they have great power. Then the next verse he describes, what is that power? And then he says, at least in English, and if one has even a slight contact with any one of these three, he can very easily and quickly attain Krishna Prem. Such power is there in the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas. So he's glorifying not only the dust of their feet, but even the shadow, the chaya. Chaya means the shadow of their feet. The dust is something that comes, dust is in contact with the feet. You walk, you look at your feet, they have so much dust on them. So I'm getting blessed because when you leave, I'll roll all over the floor and get the dust of your feet. This was once done by Shivaram Maharaj when the first group of Russian devotees came to Vrindavan. It was 1989, because I've been here since 87. So it was around 1989, and he invited them all over to his house in Vrindavan for lunch. And he was very clever because he wanted to get all three things at one time, which I figured out later. But when the entrance to the house, he had a big plastic, rectangular plastic, like little, like baby's pool or something. A little box made of plastic, like 6 inches deep and 4 feet wide. A little, like plastic, whatever you call it, container. It was filled with water and little rose petals. And that was in front of the door, and it was about 2 feet wide, so he had to step in it to get into the door. So everyone that came in, when I came to the door, I didn't know anything. I was invited. He said, why don't you come over? We're having Govinda Maharaj. I don't know. He wasn't initiated then, maybe. I don't think he was initiated yet. I mean, a sannyasi then. Anyway, Govinda Maharaj, he invited me. So it was orchestrated by Govinda Maharaj and Shivaram because they both share the same house. And so I went there and I got to the door and I saw this thing. Because being a sannyasi, I always go to people's houses and they wash your feet, or they try to anyway. And they have things like this waiting when you come in the house. There's a little water basin. And we always kind of circumambulate those things. I have practice. So then I saw that. I said, oh, sure. I understood something's going on when I saw that. And I managed to leap over that. Then I got in the house, and so then we sat, the proper disciples sat in one place, and they like this proper seating, and they served everyone out. And some Russian devotees were helping with the service. And so then afterwards, everyone was finished prasadam, they were picking up their leaf plates to go. And then Govinda Maharaj and Shiva Maharaj said, no, don't take your place, this is not our Indian custom. We'll pick up the plates, you're our guests. And they were bewildered because they'd never been to India before. They said, well, but we don't want you to touch our plates. They know the etiquette, devotees. No, please. So but some are pretty smart. Some like Sankirtan devotees or something. They would fold up their plates and no, and they would fight with their plates. So most everybody was submissive. They left their plates. Then you leave the room and you go outside on the veranda. There was a sink there to wash your hand. And on the veranda, there was about a half inch of fine yellow mitti. They call it yellow mitti, pila mitti they call it. That's yellow, like sand, fine sand, all over the veranda. Like I have a veranda, it was all covered with the fine layer of sand. it was very clear that they were, because everybody had to wash their hands and walk through that sand to go out the gate. And then he was encouraging everyone to go out very quickly because they wanted to, take prasada, I suppose. So then there was about 80 devotees that came at that first time, or 60, 80. So they all left. So I washed and I came back in, and when all the Russian devotees, they kept to keep the plates on the floor, and then all the devotees that came for prasadam they were out and the gate was locked. Then they said, I want this plate. That was, you know him, he was in the hospital. He was chanting 2 lakhs a day. And everyone started glorifying the different Vaishnavas. And they were fighting over because the ones who knew who was who. And I was sitting there going, oh my God, what is this? And they were all just fighting. Oh, this one was getting shots and injections. And he did it. And I'm going to get his remnants. So Shivaram and Govinda Maharaj and I said, well, you know, and I was just trying to go along and pick up what I could. The first thing they said, first we have to drink the water. So they went out and they took cups and they started drinking the water from that, washed their feet. And then they took the remnants. And then afterwards we washed our hands after the feast and we went out to the dust. And Shivaram was throwing dust on the head of Govinda and Govinda was on, and everyone's rolling in the dust. And Haribo, Haribo. So in this way we all attain Krishna praying by the mercy of the Russian devotees. So we were trying to experience the teachings. We read the teachings. There's great power in these three things. So here Krishna's Kaviraj is describing, this is the 10th gift which was given to me by Nityananda. So all these things. Tanha sarva labhyahai prabhur vachan se sucha etara kaila vivaran. So he's now, as I mentioned, this whole story started with the same phrase, sarva labhyahai. So now he's, Lord Nityananda said, now Krishna's Kaviraj is, after this long list of explaining what he got, he's reminding us all. Lord Nityananda said, in Vrindavan all things are possible. Here I have explained in brief his statement and, excuse me, here I have explained his brief statement in detail. So he said, you'll get everything. So here's the enumeration. You'll get everything. 1, 2, 3. So these are the 10 everythings that he got. Se sava painuami brindavana aya. Se sava labhya e prabhura kripaya. I have attained all this by coming to Vrindavan, and this was made possible by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So that concludes that's the happy ending to the story of Miniketan Ramdas. It started with the closing scene of 2 days ago was rather unhappy that Miniketan broke his flute and went away with a dukkamana. His mind was unhappy and he broke his flute and he ran away. But then it became a happy ending because Nityananda saved the day. And so we have all also come to Vrindavan for a short time or a longer time. But we're here so we can also pray to Lord Nityananda, listen, I'm following the footsteps of Krishna's Kaviraj. I've come to Vrindavan. Now I'm only here for a few days. Can you give me these 10 gifts? I'm only here for 1 day. Can I get the same 10 gifts that Krishna's Kaviraj got in 35 years that he stayed here? I'm not here very long and I don't have a long time to collect these gifts. So can you do your special impossible possible program on me? So we've been here for 19 years and I don't know if we haven't qualified yet to receive any gifts, but at least we've submitted our petition and we're hoping that someday he'll sanction our petition. Is there any